This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Hey, very good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR from Michigan State University. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV. Happy to be sitting in with you here for the whole entire week. Monday through Friday, we'll be bringing sports to you from 1 to 2 in the afternoon, and look forward to talking with you on this very, very busy week. 355-9527 is the telephone number for you to get involved in today's program if you're in the 517 area code, or you can reach us outside the 517 area code, toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR. 870. Aaron is on the other side of the glass. He'll be taking your phone calls today, producing this afternoon's program. And we do have a couple of housekeeping items that I want to get to before we get into the meat of today's program. We will have some ticket giveaways coming up this week. Later in the week, we will start to do our ticket giveaway for the Michigan State-Indiana basketball game, which takes place a week from tomorrow night, but that will be coming later in the week. However, today we are going to begin our ticket giveaway for hockey this weekend. Michigan State hosting Northern Michigan for a pair of games on Friday and Saturday. We have two tickets for each game, and if you'd like to be in the drawing for those, which we will draw on Wednesday and then notify you if you have won, the telephone number to get involved, again, in that hockey ticket giveaway, 884-4783, 884-4783, if you want to get involved in the hockey ticket giveaway. Again, we'll be doing that today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, then we'll draw on Wednesday again, and you just let us know which night you'd like to go, either Friday or Saturday. The Spartans, of course, coming off a nice win on Saturday night, 3-1 over Bowling Green. Had a tough outcome on Friday night, losing that game, but Tom Anastas' team getting back on track on Saturday, getting a win at home as they look to improve their standing and get out of the basement in the CCHA. Of course, Northern Michigan is the team right in front of them, so this would be a good weekend for Michigan State to get some points and try and get into 10th place in the CCHA. So again, if you'd like to be in the drawing for hockey tickets, 884-4783 for those tickets. Again, we have two on Friday and two on Saturday against Northern Michigan. We do have one guest lined up today at 1:40. Graham Couch from the Lansing State Journal will be joining us. The columnist there will be joining us to talk about Michigan and Michigan State basketball. Of course, they have the big game coming up tomorrow night at the Breslin Center. I actually just left Tom Izzo's weekly press conference. It was still going on when I left to come over here, but we did get one piece of information that this will be the first time in the 170 meetings between these two rivals that both will be ranked in the top 10. Michigan, fourth in the Associated Press poll this week. Michigan State, eighth. So, again, we talk about big games in the rivalry. It doesn't get any bigger than this. For the first time in rivalry history, and when you've played against somebody 169 times, I think it's hard to come up with a first, but that's exactly what Michigan and Michigan State will do when they take the floor on Tuesday night at the Breslin Center. Of course, 9 o'clock tip, and we will have a preview of that game, of course, coming up throughout today's show. I have a feeling it will kind of dictate what we talk about today, tomorrow, and Wednesday for sure. We do have a lot of guests coming up later in the week, and those will all be based around that game, talking about its importance to the state of Michigan as far as recruiting goes, as far as supremacy in the state of Michigan, and what that would mean, of course, to the two schools if they would be able to get a win, and what that's going to mean this year for the Big Ten championship. Of course, Michigan State and Indiana tied right now on top of the Big Ten conference. Michigan is tied with Wisconsin, just one game behind. So this is certainly a game that will be pivotal in deciding who's going to win the Big Ten championship this year. Michigan, if you look at the schedules, has a much easier road as the two teams look at the remainder of their schedule. And then, so if the Wolverines were to come in here and get a win over Michigan State, that would certainly go a long way for them in trying to win back-to-back Big Ten championships. Of course, they had the three-way tie last year between Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan. But the winner of tomorrow night's Michigan-Michigan State game will certainly have a leg up looking to get that Big Ten championship this year. There is a month left in the season, but only 7 games for each of the teams. So everybody has at least a bye coming up here over the next 4 weeks, but 1 month left to go in the season. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch how this thing shakes out when everything is said and done, because of some of the upsets over the weekend. One of the biggest ones is, Wisconsin and Ben Brust throwing in that half-court shot right before the buzzer at the end of regulation, sending that game into overtime, and then eventually hit a big shot in overtime to give Wisconsin a 3-point lead. And then the Badgers ultimately went on to beat Michigan, upsetting them and knocking them out of first place in the Big Ten. So let's run down a couple of our guests that we're going to have here throughout the week to talk a little bit about this rivalry and this game, and certainly what it means to both schools. Drew Neitzel, former Michigan State guard, he will join us tomorrow. Drew, of course, played in many big games in this Michigan-Michigan State rivalry, and he will be able to give us his perspective on exactly what it's like to play in one of these games. He'll also give us an update on what's going on with his career right now and where that stands. We'll also talk with Mark Snyder, who is the Michigan beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. We'll get his thoughts tomorrow on the rivalry game and what that's going to look like when the two teams tip it off tomorrow night at the Breslin Center. Coming up on Wednesday, we will recap that game with Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, and you also see him on the Big Ten Network. Mike has joined us here when I've hosted this show before, and he gives great insight into the game of college basketball, and we'll kind of wrap up that game on Wednesday. Coming up on Thursday will be a special show for sure. We're going to have a guest in studio, Dave Ellis, who he and I used to work together at WLNS when I first started my career, and Dave was there as the weekend sports anchor. But now he's been at Michigan State for, gosh, it's almost been 15 years, I think, working in their sports broadcast department. And Dave was going to his episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire will be on Wednesday on WILX TV at 5:30. So we don't really know what happened in the show yet, but once that show airs on Wednesday, Dave will be in the studio on Thursday to kind of recap that. We'll go over some other things with him as well, some things that they're doing at the university as far as their coaches' shows, what they're doing with the video boards to make the fan experience a little bit better for you out there. So we will talk with him. We'll also talk with Casey Lubon, who's the head coach of the Michigan State men's golf team, on Thursday. Casey and the Spartans coming off a runner-up finish over the weekend at the Big Ten Match Play Championship. So a very nice showing for Michigan State as they, again, were runners-up on Saturday at that event. And then on Friday, Jake Boss Jr., head baseball coach at Michigan State University, will be joining us. And, of course, the Spartans begin their season this weekend. They will be on the road, and he will call in on Friday, and we'll talk to him about the beginning of Michigan State's baseball season. So that's a little bit of a rundown as far as what we have going on this week. It certainly, again, is a busy week. Lots going on, lots to talk about, and we look forward to doing that with you here from 1 to 2 every afternoon on Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. Again, those phone numbers, if you want to get involved in today's program, 355-9527, 355-WKAR, or toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. I want to hear your thoughts on this rivalry game. And of course, again, we mentioned a couple minutes ago, but it's worth mentioning again, the first time in the 170 meetings between Michigan and Michigan State that these two schools are both ranked in the top 10. And we actually have a comment taken just moments ago from Tom Izzo at his press conference where he talks about these two teams, where they're at in the national rankings, and what kind of an impact having them ranked so high might have on this game tomorrow night.
When you look at the national rankings, it's one of the biggest Michigan-Michigan State games. When you look at both teams at the top of the Big Ten conference as far as to try to win a championship, it's one of the bigger games. I've tried not to make that the biggest thing because I know how many big games we got left. Anytime that you can, Judd, you say it's a privilege to be able to play against an interstate rival because not everybody gets to do that. And there's a few, Alabama and Auburn in football, Duke and Carolina. I mean, there's a few where it's really at a high level a lot of times. And for it to be this way is great for you guys, great for our fans, great for the water coolers, the coffee shops. But I think it'll be exciting for our players, too, and I'm sure for theirs.
That was head coach Tom Izzo of Michigan State speaking about half an hour ago at his weekly press conference, talking about how big this rivalry game will be for the two schools, again, with both teams ranked in the top 10. And he was astonished when he first heard that stat. He said, really? This is the first time? And, when you look back at both of these programs, they've played eight other times where they've both been ranked in the top 25, but really nowhere near when they were both in the top 10. They have been, one team ranked in the top 10, but usually the other is ranked, somewhere around the top 20 somewhere. Other things that Coach Izzo mentioned today at his press conference that stuck out to me, he said games like this is where you find out where your team is. And he's really excited to see where this Michigan State team is. He says that Michigan has really, really not plateaued, but they've really been steady throughout this whole season, being ranked somewhere in the top 10 and the top 5 here recently over the last couple of months. And Michigan State has been making that steady climb up the rankings here over the past couple of weeks. And that's something that has really helped propel this rivalry game to new heights, like something we've never seen before. But I'm going to throw this out there. As big as this game Tuesday night could be, and it is going to be a really big game, both as the nation is watching and also as other teams around the Big Ten are watching, but the game at Michigan, which will be played on either March 2nd or 3rd, we don't know what date that's going to be yet, but depending on what date that is, that game could be much bigger for Michigan State. It's their third-to-last game in the Big Ten, and if this game is a contest where we feature two teams ranked in the top 10, where might these two teams be on the first weekend in March? And that will be something where, as big as this game is, that second game could even mean so much more. And for the Wolverines, they get the luxury of having that game at the Chrysler Center. We will take your phone calls at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or toll free at 877-952-7870. 877-WKAR-870. And we're going to do that after we take this short break here on AM 870 WKAR.
Coming up in the week ahead, as the sequester looms, former Pentagon official Michel Flournoy joins us to break down the defense budget. And Wednesday, our favorite presidential speechwriters Paul Glastras and Peter Robinson join political junkie Ken Rudin to review the State of the Union address. I'm Neil Conan. All that and more in the week ahead on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation, that's on Talk of the Nation, coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
Cloudy with a mix of rain and snow today and a wind advisory until 9 p.m. for gusts up to 45 miles an hour. Our high 38 today. Mostly cloudy and windy tonight with a good chance of snow and a low of 25. Tomorrow's high 31, mostly cloudy and windy, a chance of snow. I'm Scott Pohl.
All right, welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV. And today we'll be here with you until 2 o'clock. Of course, we're talking a lot of basketball. Michigan, Michigan State coming up tomorrow night, 9 o'clock at the Breslin Center. And again, let's go out to the phone lines and we'll take some of your calls today and thoughts on that game, I'm sure. Michael's joining us this afternoon. He's in Saginaw. How are you today, Michael? Doing well. How are you?
I'm
doing well. How are you, Michael?
What I'd like to ask is about Derrick Nix and his development, the Tom Izzo's playing team.
What exactly about his development are you most interested in, Michael? I think we're having a little trouble connecting there with Michael, but he brings up a good question about Derrick Nix and his development. And, you know, Nix has been certainly his off-the-court issues were well-documented over the summer, and he paid the penance for that. And one of the things going into the Purdue game that Michigan State really wanted to do was try and get the ball inside. They saw that as a mismatch with Adrian Payne and Derrick Nix. And I would think that would be a big part of their game plan going into tomorrow night's game against Michigan as well. Michigan's Jordan Morgan has been hampered by injuries. We've seen John Horford from Grand Ledge get some playing time. He's been starting for the University of Michigan. And, you know, Mitch McGarry coming off the bench, the freshman for the Wolverines, has played very, very well. He has been really solid coming off the bench and doing a lot of good things for Michigan. And but inside, when you look at the two guys, when you look at Payne and Nix and what they can bring to the table, I see that as an advantage on the interior for Michigan State. Another interesting battle that I'm really looking forward to seeing, and there will be a lot of attention paid to this, is the point guard matchup between Keith Appling and Trey Burke. Burke, of course, up for many national awards as best point guard or even best player in some cases in college basketball. And Tom Izzo made a distinction earlier today about the difference in Burke's game from last year to this year. He said last year Burke was looking for his own shot. This year Burke's looking to set other people up. And I think he's doing that a little bit more because of what Nick Stauskas is doing, shooting it from the outside. But he does see that as a difference in his game, although Burke can create his own shot and get that shot off anytime that he needs to. 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or you can reach us at toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. If you want to get involved in today's program, let's go back out to our phone lines right now and welcome in Mike, who's in Lansing. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Jeremy, pleasure to speak with you on this fine Monday afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
Lovely. Love hearing you on public broadcasting. It's fantastic.
Thank you, sir. I imagine you are going to be glued to your tube like most other basketball fans in the state of Michigan tomorrow.
I'll have my Izzo shirt on. I'm going to make my family all wear white. It is a white out.
Even the dog? Will the dog wear white, too?
Well, the dog's already white, so she's got a head start.
What are some of your thoughts heading into this game? I mean, a lot was brought up today about maybe a little additional pressure on Michigan State because it is their home game, and the visitors could walk in here with not as much pressure on them because, you know, they're not supposed to win. And in order to win a Big Ten championship, you have to win all your home games and then, you know, split on the road. That's kind of the formula. So is the added pressure on Michigan State tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, from that standpoint, yeah, I mean, you have to guard against your home court. But I keep hearing that, you know, Michigan's an elite program in the country, and if you want to be elite, you've got to win a big game on the road. And they haven't been able to do that yet this year. So I think from that standpoint, it's imperative for them. You know, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing if Tom goes with, you know, Gary Harris against Trey Burke a little bit. I don't think you could go Appling full bore against Burke. He tends to get a little grabby. And if he gets into foul trouble, Michigan State will have a tough day. So I think you'll see a lot of guys switch. I think with Michigan, you have to remember with Michigan, you know, between Skauskas and Glenn Robinson Jr. and Mitch McGarry, these guys are all freshmen. And so at times they play spectacularly. And at times they play like they did against Wisconsin on Saturday, where you have a few mental breakdowns at the end. That's part of being young. And so that could be an issue for them in this game. Michigan State doesn't quite have those issues, but they've got health issues. So, you know, it's exciting. It's much more fun to talk about these games when you're talking 4 versus 8 than when you're talking, you know, 55-point blowouts like in the Cleaves era.
Right. Well, and we should mention that Tom Izzo did say that Travis Trice is listed as day-to-day, but very, very questionable to play in this game. He's still having some of those concussion-like symptoms, went through some of the walkthroughs and things that they've done over the past couple of days, but still having some of that sensitivity to light and sound and some of those other things. So that will hurt Michigan State's depth a little bit. You know, Coach Izzo also talked about last year, looking back at the game that they played in Ann Arbor, both Travis Trice and Brandon Kearney were on the floor late for Michigan State in defensive roles, and now it doesn't look like Michigan State's going to have either of those two guys.
Right. You know, depth-wise, I think it hurts a little bit. I think you can afford an injury from Trice as opposed to one of your big men up front, because Denzel Valentine's coming on, and he's improving his game as the season goes on. I like him as a backup point guard. You know, even if Trice didn't have symptoms, I mean, he's missed 2 games almost a week and a half now. He's got to get his legs back under him. You know, I wouldn't expect that even when Travis Trice is cleared to play, if he's cleared to play, because we've seen how concussions can be a tricky thing, I don't think he can expect a ton out of him for a little while at least until he gets back into a flow. And, you know, I'm sure if he's thinking it, he isn't thinking about it. But as you see with Job and Beth, you start dealing with multiple concussions in a short period of time. You know, there's no guarantee that Travis Trice makes it to his senior year if things keep going the current path.
Well, there's certainly some question marks, and that, you know, again, like some injuries, once you get one, you're susceptible to getting others, and that's certainly what's happened to Travis here. One player that I don't think is getting maybe as much mention as maybe he should, you know, a lot of the attention is going to be on Appling and Burke, but Tim Hardaway Jr., and the way that he's raised the level of his game, I mean, late at Wisconsin, I think everybody kind of thought Burke was going to take the shot, but he actually deferred to Hardaway in that case, and Hardaway hit a very tough 3-point shot, and the way he's been shooting the ball lately, it'll be interesting to see who Tom Izzo puts on him defensively to try and lock him down.
Well, I think that's where the biggest matchup problem is created, because you can find someone for Trey Burke, and Trey Burke's going to score some of his points. I mean, he's a very good player. I think Hardaway Jr. provides issues because you almost have to put a Dawson on him. I guess sometimes you can go with a Payne, but we've all seen how Brandon Dawson can struggle at times if he's not super motivated at the present moment in the game, and he struggles sometimes defensively. You know, he gives the baseline more than a few times to Purdue to a guy that shouldn't have gotten the baseline against him, and I think it was just a little bit being lazy. At least that's how it appeared to my untrained eye. You know, but Hardaway Jr., I think his biggest improvement has been consistency. He doesn't have those peaks and valleys, those long droughts. He's very consistent. He's always been talented. In fact, I think his outside jumper's come along, you know, quite a ways from last year. But I think that's where he's more dangerous, is he is a playmaker. He's got some of that Dawson-type slashing ability to get to the hole. Yeah, he can provide all kinds of problems for it. And I like Mitch McGeary. I mean, he plays really well for a freshman.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a freshman at all, that's for sure. One thing, Mikey, before I let you go, will you be attending the Dave Ellis watch party Wednesday at 5:30 over at the Spartan Hall of Fame Cafe?
Well, my invite must have got lost in the mail.
Everybody's invited. There were no formal – I mean, everybody's invited. So
I mean, after he put all these rules on it, you know, if we watch it, we can't talk about it because the West Coast audience, I mean, come on. I mean, he's from the UP. It's in the same time zone as we are down here.
I want to know if he's going to pick up the tab. That's all I'm interested in right now is he going to pick up the tab for everybody or not?
I mean, you know, thanks to the golden era of TV, I mean, the promos are all over YouTube and on the air on your fine station. You know, so we know he gets close. So the question is does he seize ultimate glory or does he lay an egg in the final couple of questions? And, of course, he'll get ridiculed either way.
So, well, and that's what we do. I mean, so.
You know, and as I told him, I said if he wins the big money, he's paying all the fees next year for fantasy football. I mean, he's covering everybody up front.
All right, buddy. Good to talk to you. Thanks again for calling in, and I know you will be tuned in and watching the big game coming up on Tuesday.
you, Jeremy.
All right, Mike and Lansing giving us a couple thoughts there on the big game coming up Tuesday night, of course, Michigan and Michigan State. 355-9527 is the telephone number if you'd like to get involved in today's program. That's 355-WKAR. Or you can reach us toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. If you're interested in talking about this game or anything else that's going on, we can actually talk a little bit about that or anything else that's going on in your sports world. Let's go out to line two. And who do we have on line two?
It's Ray.
Hi, Ray. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. Do you have a question about the Michigan-Michigan State game?
Yeah, that was so nice, that game Saturday. Remind me of 3 years ago, Beilein let the guy shoot from half court. They talk about how great a coach he is, but he's a jerk. You know, that guy took my chocolates and hailed the Victor's ink pens and blew me off. Took away my season tickets. They're real nice people. You know, you can beat those guys, Tuesday. It's going to be close. But if you go in, you don't go in there intimidated or scared of them, you can beat those bullies.
All right, Ray, we appreciate the thoughts today. I'm not quite sure where the chocolate milk came in, but he has a little pent-up anxiety there, a little angst against the maize and blue. You know, one thing that that Tom Izzo talked about today is just kind of the state of his Spartans right now. After 24 games, they're 20-4 on the season. That's the second best record in his 18 years of coaching at Michigan State. After 24 games, he had one team that was 21-3. So we've talked all season long about the deficiencies of this team and the things that they don't do well. They turn it over too much. Their defense can be lacking. They're only out rebounding Big Ten opponents by about just over two per game. They've had trouble with free throws, turnovers, defense, all these things that have been plaguing Michigan State. But at the same time, they are 20-4 on the season. And if they finish this season strong, they could be a candidate again for a one or two seed and have the ability to play their first two games in the NCAA tournament at the Palace of Auburn Hills. So this is Tom Izzo a little earlier today talking about his group and kind of how he sees them after 24 games.
This team is not full of himself. They understand their deficiencies and they understand, I think, what it takes to win, and yet we're getting into another new territory now. Whether I like it or not, you're in a position, you got to talk about winning the Big Ten championship. You got to talk about, you know, NCAA tournament seedings. I mean, that's what's on the line now in the next five or six games. So whether I want to talk about it or not, I don't have a choice. Whether they handle it right or not is yet to be seen.
All right, again, that was Tom Izzo a little earlier today talking about the state of his team at 20-4 after 24 games, ranked eighth in the country in the Associated Press poll released earlier today. Another thing that he said this afternoon that's really kind of what he called neat about this rivalry is because of where both teams are ranked nationally, that this is a game that is not just meaningful in Michigan or the Midwest, or, you know, on the East Coast. This is a game that the entire nation will be taking stock of. And for him, he said, you know, yeah, would you rather, you know, be able to just, you know, dominate your rivals? Sure. Who wouldn't want to do that? But, you know, in a sick way, he says this is kind of best for both teams to go into a game that really matters. And you've got two teams ranked in the top 10 for the first time, and it's something that that he is certainly looking forward to. And then I asked him a little bit later, and maybe we'll get this cut on for tomorrow, but he went in depth about his feelings again about the rivalry and his feelings about the University of Michigan. He has made no bones about his feelings toward Michigan because of what happened to him early in his coaching career, you know, maybe even more so as an assistant. And a lot of this stems from the recruitment of Chris Weber and how much time and effort Tom put into recruiting Chris and getting him to come to Michigan State. And in the end, it didn't happen. The Ed Martin scandal is well documented about what happened with the Fab Five and ultimately how things were handled at the University of Michigan. So from the very beginning, as if the rivalry weren't intense enough, what Coach Izzo had to go through in some of those recruiting battles, and I use Weber as a specific example, has fueled his fire when he's faced Michigan throughout his entire career. And as he said today, it's illegal to love your rivals. It's you can respect them. And I think there have been, you know, dips and peaks and valleys in Coach Izzo's thoughts about what's been happening at the University of Michigan. He said today, I love Tommy Amaker. Thought he did it the right way, had the utmost respect for what he did. And he really piggybacked that with, he has the same feelings toward John Beilein. And he says, Coach Beilein has built it the right way. They've put a bigger emphasis at the University of Michigan into basketball. They have upgraded their facilities tenfold, and they've built it the way that you're supposed to build it. But this rivalry for Tom Izzo, you know, when he sees maize and blue together, he doesn't see green. He sees red. That's the color that he sees most. And much of that has to do with, yes, your rivals. It's the Hatfields. It's the McCoys. You're not supposed to like your rival. You know, it's illegal to do that, he said, but you can respect them. And I think that's what this rivalry is full of at this date. It changes. It changes with the coaches. It changes year to year. I think there is a certain intensity that you feel in the building when these two teams get together. And, you know, like Coach Izzo, I've been covering this team for almost 20 years. So you've seen the ebbs and flows. You've seen early on where Michigan dominated, you know, winning games by 20, 25 points. And then you saw the pendulum swing over to Michigan State side. And everybody will remember the Mateen Cleaves 20 assist game at the end of the 2000 regular season, where it wasn't even close as to who the best team was. And now the pendulum has swung back after all these years to two really, really good basketball teams. And they're two of the top 10 teams in the country right now. And I think at the end of the year, they both have a chance to be ranked in that top 10. And to me, that's what's going to make this rivalry special going forward. But it's what's going to make tomorrow night special. Again, the university has asked for a whiteout, so if you are going to the game, they are asking that you do wear white to that game to show your support for Michigan State. And again, it's a game that was circled on the calendar at the beginning of the year, and no reason now after 24 games why it isn't one of the most sought-after games on the schedule this year. All right, we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on WKAR, AM 870.
There's plenty of death, corruption, and decay in Detroit, as well as hope and inspiration. And no one tells Detroit stories quite like journalist Charlie LaDuff. On the next Fresh Air, he talks about his hometown.
We're alive here, people. Everybody in Detroit is going to be fine. Still a city.
LaDuff's new book is Detroit, An American Autopsy. Join us.
All right, that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. There's a wind advisory until 9 o'clock for gusts up to 45 miles an hour. A high near 38 today, cloudy with a mix of rain and snow. Mostly cloudy and windy and a good chance of snow tonight, the low 25. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and windy, a chance of snow and a high of 31.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. Jeremy Sampson from WILX TV with you here until 2 o'clock. But for this segment, we're going to go out to our guest line and welcome in columnist from the Lansing State Journal, Graham Couch, who is fresh off leaving the Tom Izzo press conference. Hi, Graham. How are you?
Doing well, Jeremy. Yourself?
Not too bad. Any surprises for you today at the press conference? I mean, this is usually a time where Tom Izzo is very quotable, and I thought he was again today. I thought the players were well calculated and measured in some of the things that they said, but was there anything that you heard from either Tom Izzo or the Michigan State players that were available that really kind of jumped out to you today?
Yeah, nothing from the players, other than but from Izzo, I thought one was that the question was posed about whether this Michigan was actually being, their rise was a threat to him and his program at all and what he's built. And there was another question about his disdain for them. And he answered those fairly honestly. And I'm not saying he doesn't usually, but, the cameras are on. It's the day before a rivalry, and sometimes you kind of couch that a little bit. And, he talked a little bit about how early on, in his career as an assistant and then as a head coach at Michigan State, things weren't necessarily done right at Michigan in his mind, and that there was that level of disdain that doesn't exist anymore. He has respect for the people there, even if he doesn't necessarily like them. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. And he talked about not seeing Michigan as a threat and that sort of stuff. He just talked openly about it. I thought that was interesting, but no real surprises. He threw out a line about the matchups and that he thought Dawson on Stauskas, but I don't see that happening. Dawson's going to be on Tim Hardaway Jr. I think that was just kind of a coy attempt at deflecting maybe a game plan, but that's just not the way it's going to be, not with Gary Harris' back and not the way Tim Hardaway Jr. has been playing.
For me, that's a big concern for Michigan State because of twofold, the way Tim Hardaway Jr. has been playing, and, the other part is the way that Brandon Dawson has been playing on the defensive end. Now, he was a little bit better at Purdue, but pretty much he's been in Tom Izzo's doghouse here for the past couple of weeks because of his play on the defensive end.
Yeah, no, the real interesting thing to me in this game is going to be Dawson and if he can do what he did against Purdue, and Harris in his back, if he's able to be effective. That's the name of the game for Michigan State, because these guys can play on the perimeter, and I think Dawson will be fired up. I think that won't be an issue for MSU in this game. I think everybody will, but certainly that's where this game is going to be decided, I think. And if Michigan State can defend out on the perimeter on these guys, and because in the paint, Michigan State's got a real advantage if they take advantage of it, and they've got a real chance to impose their will to some degree, but they've got to defend.
And they've got to defend the three. I mean, as Tom said today, we know Michigan's going to make some threes, and we expect that. However, it kind of used the football analogy of, if you take away the pass, are they going to kind of run it down your throat? So, I mean, I think that they're going to be cognizant of the way that Michigan shoots the three-point shot, but not necessarily defensively put all their eggs in one basket. That matchup for me, Dawson on Hardaway, is going to be, I think, pretty key to the way Hardaway is going to score. He's going to get his. But if he goes off for 20 or 25, it could be a tough night for Michigan State.
Yeah, and the way Hardaway is playing like a pro right now. I mean, he's hitting shots. If Ben Bruss doesn't hit that, miracle three there,
yep,
against Wisconsin, everybody's talking about Tim Hardaway's shot, which was a brilliant. Bruss hit a lucky three, and then he hit a big shot. It was a good shot in overtime. But the guy who hit the NBA shot was Tim Hardaway. And he's playing at another level right now. And in some ways you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, but if you can shut down the three from Michigan, they're not going to beat you. I mean, that's too much of what they do. That said, this isn't Jordan Hall's at Indiana or DJ Bird at Purdue, where that's what they do. That's all they do. That's what gives them Division I value. I mean, Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway, I mean, even Stauskas, these are much more complete players. So it's harder to take that away than it is with other teams. That's what makes them so dangerous and so effective. You have to, it's one thing to say, if you take that away, but taking it away is very difficult. I think a lot of teams have tried, because I do think that Michigan needs to hit threes to win a game like this.
Graham Couch, columnist at the Lansing State Journal, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870. Graham, we touched on the Michigan State play on the inside. That was clearly part of the game plan in Saturday's win at Purdue, was to pound it inside. Derek Nix and Adrian Payne were both very aggressive when they got the ball in the post. And as you kind of alluded to earlier, I expect that to be a big part of Michigan State's game plan tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, they've got it. I mean, they really ought to have that edge. Payne and Nix are playing really beautifully in tandem right now. And the best I've seen in the way they both are working on the block, especially Nix, is another level. And Payne understands how to, you know, kind of use his overall game and spacing. It's a nice duo. And Michigan is weak there. I mean, they just are. And it's Beilein's flaw as a recruiter, as a coach. I mean, you go back to Pitsnoggle, you know, he doesn't get four men very well. He's not had a lot of them, and not had a lot of guys that can defend inside like that. Mitch McGarry, to me, is their best big, their best hope. You can talk about Jordan Morgan all you want, but Mitch McGarry is their best big and pivotal to them being able to stop Michigan State inside. But MSU can get away from going inside. They do it sometimes. And if they fall in love with other things, that's bad news for the Spartans.
What else are you kind of looking forward to? I know there will be a lot of things written here over the next couple of days about the point guard matchup between Burke and Appling, and both have been as good as advertised going into the year and, you know, throughout the first 24 games. I don't know as if, you know, those two head-to-head are going to decide this game. However, in a close game, which I think a lot of people think this might be, the ball will be in one of those two gentlemen's hands and could decide the game late if it comes down to that.
Yeah, no, I do think that's a pivotal matchup, because those guys are the decision makers, and Appling's done a good job of not getting wrapped up in the one-on-one stuff with Kraft. And, you know, Burke's another guy, obviously a better player than Aaron Kraft, much better player than Aaron Kraft, but another guy that gets a lot of hype and more hype than Appling. And I think that eats at Appling. In Burke's case, it's deserved. But making sure he stays within himself, you know, the thing about for both these guys, really, because Burke, if you watch the Michigan-Ohio State game, the worst thing that Burke did is he let Kraft get to him. Kraft is up in here. He's a tough defender, and he's annoying. And so Burke then tried to defend Kraft the way Kraft defends Burke.
Yep.
Which is a complete mistake, because what's Kraft going to do? Hit a one out of every 12 threes against you and do what? Get blocked at the rim. And yet your mindset is, this guy's up on me, I'm going to show him. It's the completely wrong approach. It's the one-on-one approach. And these guys can't get locked into that. You know, Appling, he's got to hit open shots. He's got to get in the lane where he causes all sorts of havoc and finish. And then he's got to get the ball inside. He's got to make great decisions. And that's what he's got to do. It doesn't really matter who the other point guard is. It's fun to look at that sort of stuff, and there are times where that really factors in a game. But that's not the matchup Michigan State wins. To win a basketball game, you got to win matchups, and Michigan State wins its matchups inside. Maybe it wins it offensively, physically with Brandon Dawson. It doesn't win the Keith Appling, Trey Burke matchup as easily. It's not that he can't make plays, but he can't force things.
Graham, when you look at both teams now being ranked in the top 10, first time in the 170 meetings between these two, I guess it's kind of hard to fathom, knowing what the traditions of these two schools that they've been like. They've just been void of being that spectacular at the same time. And we've seen both programs be very good, but it's always been at different times. And the intensity of this rivalry, I wish they were playing tonight, honestly. I know the coaching staffs probably don't, but, you know, I, for one, am really looking forward to this game, the atmosphere, and just what the Breslin Center is going to be like because of what's on the line and what Tom Izzo said today, that this is no longer just a regional game, that this is a national game that everybody's going to be watching.
Yeah, it is a little bit of an anomaly. I don't know that Michigan is going to be this good next year, depending on how many guys leave. And the program is definitely up, though. You're more likely to see this again. It also speaks to, there's some questions for some previous coaching staff. How did this, you know, how did it get to this point where it's never happened before? And to speak to the kind of ships passing in the night sort of thing in the programs, I mean, if you think back to 97, 98, the first year Michigan State won a share of the Big Ten title under Izzo, and then Michigan won the Big Ten tournament. The last time they were both kind of, other than last year, were both, you know, pretty good at the same time. That season, CBS decided not to televise a Michigan State-Michigan game because they didn't think Michigan State was a high-profile enough program. I mean, so there really haven't been many of these, and it does make it fun. And it is also, I think, adding to it is we thought this was coming in football, and we thought this was going to be done with football, basketball, back-to-back, just these top ten. And the football game wound up being a terrific game, but it didn't have the national ramifications that I think a lot of people thought going in, and we're getting that now in hoops, and there's been kind of there's definitely been an appetite for it for a while.
Well, and now, as Tom mentioned today too, they're playing for a Big Ten championship, but they're playing for a lot more because now, after 24 games, you've got 7 left in the regular season. Now you're looking at NCAA seeding, you know, perhaps Michigan and Michigan State both playing at that regional at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Clearly they would be in different brackets, but you know, if those are both top 2 or top 3 seeds, you know, why wouldn't the NCAA put them both there, reward them for that, and have a packed house for every session that they have there?
Yeah, no, I think what would be really interesting if you wind up, and I think more than likely you're going to wind up with both those teams at the Palace, because there are other play. You know, the thing that could screw that up is a year where there just aren't other Midwest regional sites for teams like Indiana or Ohio State. But Dayton's got a site. I think Louisville's got a site. I mean, there's just all sorts of places to put these guys. And what would be – so I do think they're both headed for Auburn Hills. And what would be interesting is that you might have – it would be interesting to see a Big Ten pride played out over rivalry.
No way.
Because, yeah, exactly. I mean, you might wind up with thinking you have a home crowd, but in essence – you've got a real split crowd. You've got half the people in there rooting yep. against you, and that would be sort of an interesting dynamic, you know, in your home state.
And I think that's been brought up before, and something that would be very interesting if both teams make it there. I know a lot of the writers and other members of the media are, in a way, kind of rooting for that to be a weekend without too much travel, at least as far as, you know, airports go. You'd have the drive back and forth, if you will. But I think it would be a nice reward for both teams who have worked so hard this season to have a chance to play in their home state to begin their run toward the Final Four.
I'd rather be in San Jose.
I understand. You don't have the TV equipment I have to carry, though. You know, for me, the airport experience is not very much fun.
These pens are getting heavier and heavier, though. I mean,
yes, but the laptops are getting lighter and lighter.
That's true.
Graham, before we let you go, I know you're going to have a prediction coming up in tomorrow's paper, so I won't put you on the spot and ask you for a specific game score. But if you could kind of look in the crystal ball and kind of give us what you think the game will look like tomorrow night, what do you think it's going to look like?
I think it'll be ugly early. I just think there'll be almost too much hype, too much emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's fascinating. I really don't know, because I think they are so different. They're very good, but they're very different makeups in the matchups, and it's going to be close. I just don't see a way that this isn't last year. Michigan State ran away at home with a game, or you know, this is Michigan's too good. Even if Michigan State's imposing its will, they got too many players that can make shots. It's going to be close, and I think at some point it'll be really good basketball. I think it'll might take some time to get there, but it's hard to picture though, because it's a matchup that you do anticipate for a while, and there are so many interesting variables, and both teams have, you know, the thing that makes these teams both so good is they both have so many playmakers, and you don't know really which guy is going to be the matchup that works for another person. So for each team. So I think my guess is probably not much better than most people's.
Well, and projecting ahead, too, the way the schedule's set up for both schools, this is really kind of a must-win for Michigan State. You know, we talked about the home court issue and having to do that, but you look at Michigan's schedule the rest of the way, and of all the contenders, you know, you're going to have Indiana and Wisconsin and Ohio State all rooting for Michigan State tomorrow because many of the Wolverines' tough games that they have coming up are at home. And this is kind of one of their last really big road games. So the schedule is even in Michigan's favor after Tuesday night as well.
No doubt. You know, I saw all sorts of kind of our Michigan media brethren talking about how critical it was for Michigan. It's a natural reaction, but that's totally bogus. This is a bigger game for MSU because, you know, you got to win at home. And if you look at this is really, you can say this is the last tough road challenge for Michigan. And it is. And that's, I mean, if they could, they just win the games they're supposed to. Even if they lose, they're going to go 14-4 in the league. And when you look at how difficult this is, I mean, that looks like a share of the title to me right now. So it is. It's if Michigan wins it, they're in the driver's seat to me. And whereas, you know, and for Michigan State, if they win it, they've got a lot of things going for them too. They got Indiana coming back. They've got that win at Wisconsin. I do think they'll beat Wisconsin at home. They don't travel to Illinois this year. The game at Ohio State is going to be very difficult. But I do think in some respects the winner of this game is going to have, as long as is going to be in the driver's seat, as long as they're able to beat Indiana at home. And that's the variable that kind of is out there. Because that's, you know, I mean, it is a home game, but it's far from a given.
All right, Graham, we appreciate the insight. I know, like me, you're looking forward to tomorrow night. We look forward to reading everything that you got in the Lansing State Journal here over the next couple of days.
Appreciate it. Enjoy it, Jeremy.
All right, Graham Couch, columnist from the Lansing State Journal, joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Jeremy Sampson again from WILX-TV sitting in today. I'll be here the whole week. Of course, the beginning of our week will be a lot of Michigan State talk. Again, we'll have a lot more tomorrow leading up to the game. We'll talk with Drew Neitzel, former Michigan State guard. And we'll talk about his experiences in this rivalry game, what made it different from other Big Ten games that he played in, and maybe even what it was different or what made it different than some of the NCAA tournament games that he was able to play in. We'll also talk to Mark Snyder, who is the Michigan beat writer for the Detroit Free Press, and we'll get his thoughts on the Michigan angle to this show and or to this game and what he thinks the Wolverines will need to do to come into the Breslin Center and get a win on Tuesday night. I want to remind you again quickly of those telephone numbers for the hockey ticket giveaway, 884-4783. We have two tickets for Friday night's game, two tickets for Saturday night's game as well. Of course, Michigan State at home. They are hosting Northern Michigan, who is just above them in the CCHA standings. So a chance for the maize and blue, or a chance for the green and white to get a little closer to the maize and blue in those CCHA hockey standings. Of course, Michigan State currently sitting in 11th place and looking to move up as we get ready here to get into tournament time for hockey as well. I appreciate the phone calls today. I know we had a couple of them. Also want to thank Graham Couch for coming on, the columnist for the Lansing State Journal, and giving us his insight on tomorrow night's big game as well. So those are a couple of the things that we have going on this week. Don't forget other guests that we'll have on this week. Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News and the Big Ten Network will be joining us on Wednesday. On Thursday, we've got Casey Lubon, who's the head coach of the Michigan State men's golf team. The Spartans coming off a runner-up finish at the Big Ten Match Play Championships over the weekend. Dave Ellis will be in studio with us on Thursday. He can talk all about that millionaire show, and you'd be free to call in and ask him some questions as well. And then Jake Boss Jr., head coach of the Michigan State baseball team, will join us on Friday to talk about the Spartans as they get ready to open up their season. Aaron, great job again on the other side of the glass. I know we didn't get to too many of your comments. Hope to do that again tomorrow. We thank everybody for calling today, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. And don't forget, on the Tube tonight on WILX-TV. For Michigan State, this is AM 870 WKAR.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.